We are going to begin a new study tonight. Now, isn't that a coincidence? We begin a new study today in Romans chapter 5. And we begin a new section in the larger catechism, question 36. We begin our study of the mediator of the covenant of grace. Number 36. In the larger catechism. And this is a most wonderful study, studying the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how could we better spend our time than that? I want to know, learning more of Christ, who He is, and what He has done and what He is doing. How wonderful. So number 36... in the larger catechism, who is the mediator of the covenant of grace? The only mediator of the covenant of grace is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, of one substance and equal with the Father, in the fullness of time became man, and so was and continues to be God and man, in two entire distinct natures and one person forever. That is really good. And we're not going to get through that tonight. We won't get through that next Lord's Day. And it may take us a month to get through this one. This is so good. It's so full. Our verse that we began with tonight is one of the main verses beginning this answer on the mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It's interesting, is it not, that in that particular verse, in the original, the number one is used twice. And it's very important. Now, mediators. Have you ever had anything to do with human mediators? Sometimes pastors are called upon to mediate between people who are at variance with one another. And over the years, I have had to sit down with siblings who couldn't get along with each other. At other times, with those who were before very close friends. But some of the most futile attempts that I have ever been involved with is to get marriage partners to live peaceably together and to really love one another. Now, as a man, I could talk with the husband in private and we could communicate. But not being a woman, I couldn't really understand the female mind or even grasp her full meaning. Now, let me say this. I'm not putting this forward to put women down. It's just that men and women are very different. We think in different ways. I do not believe one of you men who've been married for some decades would dare to say that you understand the female mind. Any one of you brethren that have been, Brother William has been married longer than all of us. Do you understand the way a woman's mind works? Okay, so you brethren, be encouraged and pray a lot. Okay, but our mediator is the perfect fit for our need. He's the perfect fit. A human counselor can't really be both and understand both the mind of the woman and the mind of the man, because no human being is both. But our mediator is the perfect fit for our need, and for God's righteously sovereign view of all things. Christ, the mediator, is both true man able to sympathize with us, and as perfect eternal deity, he upholds all the glorious character of God in his mediation. A mediator, of course, is a go-between, an intermediary or an umpire to settle disputes. Well, what dispute is there? Why is a mediator even necessary at all? Because human sin has separated us from our Maker. The Lord over and over again in the Scripture tells us that our iniquities have separated between us and our God. Our sin, our guilt, and our defiled consciences have made us naturally afraid of God. Now, you just think about that. Have you ever been just afraid of God? Martin Luther, in his testimony of his life, he said that he had grown up with the idea that God was just ready to strike him at any time because of his sin. And so we are naturally, because of our guilt, because of our defiled consciences, because of our sin, we are afraid of God. So that ungodly man does not even want to think about God. Did you know that? Ungodly man doesn't just want, let me sit around and think about God today. I'm going to think about God all day today. Ungodly men are not going to do that. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Psalm 10 verse 4, God is not in all his thoughts. The ungodly man doesn't want to think about God. Let's don't talk about that. Okay, no religion. We're not going to talk about religion, they say. Well, not the Bible religion anyway. On God's part, his holiness is offended. He's offended by us. His holiness is offended by man's filth and impurity. His righteousness is offended by man's rebellion against his law word. God's truth has already decreed wrath and eternal vengeance against unrepenting sinners. Remember Psalm 7, verse 11? God is angry with the wicked every day. In Romans 1:18, we have studied not too long ago, his wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God's curse is upon everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, there he said it. Man, by his sin, is so afraid of God that he won't seek God. He feels so guilty and he's full of fear. And God is offended by man's impurity. And God's wrath is against the rebellious nature of man. God is angry with the wicked every day. So the situation is very plain. A mediator is needed. Well, God will not leniently and sentimentally let sinners get by with their sin. His very nature abhors sin. He will not allow fallen man to conclude that crime does pay. He's not going to let man ultimately conclude that crime pays. God is patient, but his wrath is certain. And let us understand that God felt no necessity in himself. There was no necessity in God to provide a mediator. Okay, consider that. There was no necessity that God felt to provide a mediator. He was under no divine obligation to save fallen man, to give a mediator. So let us think, how did the very thought in the mind of the eternal, how did it even originate for him to devise the plan to give a mediator? Think about that. It was totally out of his absolute sovereignty and unbound freedom that he chose to provide our mediator, his eternal son. He didn't have to do it. But praise his name, he did it. So out of the hostility of sinners against God and all sinful pollution, if any of us would be saved for eternity, God alone could devise the means where we could be brought back to Him and reconciled to Him through the mediator. As perfect eternal deity, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very one to carry out this work, the mediator for our salvation. Well, he has devised the means and the mediator. And this truth of only one mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. That truth is denied by Roman Catholicism in particular. They look especially to Mary. And some of the recent popes have been so bold to say publicly that Mary was their true mediatrix, not a mediator, not in that sense, but in the feminine mediatrix. And not only do they look to Mary to mediate for them, but to a host of departed saints and to a bunch of angels to mediate for them. Well, I want to ask you a question, and one of the old Puritans gives us a really good answer. When was the mediator given? When was the mediator given? The old Puritan Archbishop Usher wrote that he was given three times to us, if you could even use the word time. At three points, he was given to us. First of all, he was given in the eternal decree in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before there was any world, the mediator was given. He was given in the mind of God. And his people were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. In whom? In Christ, in the mediator, before the foundation of the world. So old Usher says, he was first given in the decree before there was a world. Secondly, he was given in the promise. As soon as man fell, and the need was obvious in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head. So he was given at the very point of the obvious human need. He had already been decreed in the mind of God, but now he is given in the promise. And thirdly, in the fullness of time, he was manifest in the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we, now there it is, who's Paul writing to in Galatians? He's writing primarily to Gentiles. Thank God. It includes Gentiles, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, Christ is our mediator. And Louis Burkhoff said that Christ is our mediator in two particular senses. And this is most encouraging and most wonderful. Christ is our mediator in two senses. First of all, by his wisdom, his obedience, his intercession, and his advocacy on our behalf. Now you think about him. He is our advocate. It's like he is our lawyer.
that pleads for us in the court of God. But notice, his plea is not the ordinary plea of a lawyer, of a man, of an advocate. He is God, manifest in the flesh, who is bringing this powerful intercession and advocacy for us. He is our mediator in that sense. But I have to say, I've just been terribly blessed by this other, the second way he is our mediator, by the omnipotence of his cross. He mediates for us in that way. And this is most beautiful. For Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 says that he made peace by the blood of his cross. He reconciled us. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Now, this is most wonderful because there's two Greek words put together in a real long one. The first word is eirene, which means peace. And poieo is the verb. He actually created peace. Christ is the creator. He not only created the world. We read in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? Now, it's most wonderful because he created even while he was standing here on this earth in his earthly ministry. You think about the things that he created. You remember the fish and the loaves? A little boy's lunch. And he took it. And in spite of what the liberals say, you know what the liberals say? The liberals say, well, you know, the little boy was such a wonderful sacrificial example that he made all those people that were hiding their food feel guilty. And so they reached in there inside their robes and they brought it out and they shared with everybody. That was really a great miracle. No, Christ created more bread and more fish. He blessed it. And it was multiplied. And here, he created peace by the blood of his cross. That's the very wording. There had been no eternal peace between God and believing men until Christ created that peace. During 6 hours, that Friday, hanging on the cross, he created peace. Peace by the blood of his cross. What a wonderful, wonderful article. What a most glorious blessing. What a holy commodity he has provided for us as mediator, making peace, creating peace by the blood of his cross. Who is the mediator of the covenant of grace? The only mediator of the covenant grace of grace is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as far as we get tonight. But how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.